Bless the Lord, who forgiveth all our sins. His mercy endureth forever. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to him. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Ye who do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, devoutly kneeling as you are able. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved thee with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may the Almighty and merciful Lord, grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from thy ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of thy word, Jesus Christ, thy Son, who with thee and the Holy Spirit liveth and reigneth one God forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make you, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, "For as Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Paul to the Romans. The promise that he would inherit the earth did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, "So numerous shall your descendants be." He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," was written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us to believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. At the risk of doing this too often, I will try not to do it again in the future, but I must share a story from my youth. One of the rectors of the church in which I grew up, one Sunday that this was the text of the gospel for the sermon, he had come a little early, earlier than I usually get here, I must apologize, but I've come from a long ways away, and he took one of the processional crosses, and he laid it down. We had a traditional church with the nave, the chancel, and the sanctuary. And he laid it down on the floor of the chancel, where it was right in sight of everybody in the congregation and right between the choirs. I'm assuming he was going to make some point about taking up your cross and following. Well, you know how people are. As soon as somebody from the choir or somebody walked into the church after him putting it there, they said, "What is the cross doing there?" And they hurried and picked it up and went and put it where it was supposed to be. And sure enough, it didn't take much longer for him to notice that, and he went and put it back on the floor. And sure enough, the next person to come along said, "What is the cross doing out there in the middle of the floor? And somebody forgot to put it away." And we got up and put it away where it's supposed to be. Well, I don't know how many times that happened, but it says a lot about each of us in the way we understand who we are in the light of the gospel. If I were one who titled my sermons, I would probably call this one A Tale of Two Peters. Because it's really about how Peter and Jesus clashed in their understanding of who they each were. If you go back to last Sunday's gospel and the temptations of Christ in the wilderness, one way of looking at that is to say, well, how was he able to withstand all those temptations? And the short and simple answer is this: Jesus knew exactly who he was. He knew who he was and what he was supposed to do. He didn't have to be following the temptations that were laid before him, even though he was hungry, even though he was thirsty, even though his own self cried out for in its human need, he knew Moreover, that he was God and God's son, and therefore didn't need to give in to his human need. For it's very clear, we always teach the two natures of Christ, that he was fully God and fully human. And when both were challenged, he knew that, and he stood firm in faith in God and who he was. Peter, on the other hand, not so much. Although, you got to say, Peter had some of God in him and very much of humanity in him. The gospel we read today is, of course, the gospel that follows immediately, the portion of the gospel that follows immediately after Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And after they offer some weak explanations, "Well, you're a prophet, you're John the Baptist, or we don't really know, but we know we're attracted to you, and we know we can't leave you." And you know, they didn't say that, but I'm sure they thought it. And then Peter blurted out, "You're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah, you're the chosen one, you're the one we've been waiting for all this time." And Jesus says to Peter, "You're the rock on which I will build my church. You're the foundation on which the faith will survive and thrive in this world." But then as they walk away, Jesus starts to tell them what it means for him to be the Messiah, what it means for him to be the one they've expected. For the common thought about the Messiah was it was going to be someone like King David, who was going to roar in on his charger and save the day and set them free from these tyrannous Romans and from the petrifying traditions, and they would be free to be God's people forever and ever. But Jesus says, "No, that's not what I am as the Messiah. I will have to go to Jerusalem. I will have to suffer many indignities and much torture. That's what the Messiah is about. The one who gives himself that others may live. The one who shares the worst of human destiny, that there might be a greater destiny much beyond." And Peter, although just moments before, said, "You're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God," said, "No, Lord, you can't do that. No, Lord, you can't talk that way. You'll never get anybody to follow you, because nobody wants to pay that kind of price. And if you're just going to be killed, then guess what? Why should we bother? There's nothing in it for us. We can't get anything out of it if you do that." You see, Peter was acting out of two selves. Just as Jesus was acting out of two selves, being fully human and fully divine, we also act out of those two selves, very much exemplified by the Apostle Peter. For there is part of us who wants what we want when we want it and how we want it. There's part of us who says, the world says, we deserve it. Work hard. Be successful. And you'll go to your retirement with all you'll ever need. And you'll go to heaven because you kept all the rules and laws of the church, like putting the cross back where it belongs. But that's the very self that's not the self that Christ proclaimed in Peter, who would be the rock on which the church would be built. That's the self in us that is very much shaped by our own culture, that is very much shaped by our own wants and needs, that is very much shaped by those very things of which Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness: to be in control, to act as a lord over others, and to have whatever we need physically whenever we need or think we need it. For you see, in each of us there is a divine self, a holy self, that comes from that part of us which was created by God when he said, this is good. We are made good. But with lots of things to draw us away from that goodness and find goodness in things that will not survive. And that's the real temptation of ourselves throughout our whole lives. There's a true self and there's a false self. There's the Peter who denied Christ, who got scared when he stepped out on the water with Christ, who drew his sword to protect Christ in the garden and was reprimanded, saying, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And there's the Peter who is the rock on which the church will be built. And there's the Peter who, when challenged by Jesus after the resurrection and asked three times, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Take care of my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Which takes sacrifice, self-giving, self-control. Now imagine for those folks who came in and moved the cross. They did it not out of a need to ask and say, why is the cross on the floor? But because they assumed that their selves knew and thought what ought to be was always the right thing. When true faith is far more than simply following all the rules. So you could say that Peter's two selves were defined by the letter S. I should do it that way, because which is it for you, backwards for me. The difference between word and sword. You notice they're the same words. But when we put ourself first, what we do is live by the sword. But when we drop the self and live by the word, that is Jesus himself, then our true selves are to be found. Long ago, St. Augustine, I believe it was, put out a sort of stages of self love. And it went like this. The first stage that we all have of self is loving ourselves for ourselves' sake. Think about a newborn baby. That's where we all began. When we pooped our pants, when we were hungry, when we were cold, everything was about ourselves for ourselves' sake. And many of us still live that way. But as we grew, if we became aware of God's love in our lives, we began to love God for our self's sake. Keeping all the rules, dotting all the T's, you know, dotting all the T's and what, slashing all the I's, or the other way around, you know what I mean. And if you're really faithful in that, eventually, you'll evolve to loving God for God's sake. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If God is big enough to do that, then we should love God for God's sake. And that makes us all saints. But what God really calls us to be and to do is to love ourselves for God's sake. Because God loved the world so much. God loved his creation and his created beings to whom he entrusted this world so much that he gave himself that we all might live not by the sword, but by the word of God. And where do we find this word of God? It's not over the sea. It's not up in the heavens. It's in our hearts and on our lips, that our mouths shall so proclaim God's praise, that we may live together in this life and in the life to come, have life everlasting. So I challenge you for the rest of Lent to consider yourself, the self that is drawn between doing what we need and what God needs. I should say, what God hopes for in all of us. How can I learn my true self and let go of those things that are my false self? How can I attain to those things that are heavenly and lift those up, that I may continue to live and serve God and discover that foretaste of heaven in the way I live here and now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Will you please stand with me and profess your faith by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 8 in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds,
God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and imparted by the Holy Ghost to the Virgin Mary, and was made man, was crucified on the cross of the cross of Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and he sitteth on the right hand of the Father. He shall come again in glory, to judge the both quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, with the will of God and the Son, he is worthy of worship, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers.
We pray for all who have govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake,
that our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We pray for you. We pray you. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others, especially those on our prayer list. Margaret,
Jean, Steve, Nicole, Courtney, Blair, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Jaden, Ryan, Tate, Richard, Regina, Irene, Larry, Jean, Michael, Joe, Laura,
Baylor,
Shay,
Ed and Pat,
Doug,
Ed,
Alberta,
Tom,
Angela,
Jenny,
Tony,
Zach,
Betsy,
Michael,
Clara,
Georgina,
Judy,
Joyce,
Bernard,
Russ,
Jerry,
Sarah,
Bill,
Martha,
Shane,
Judy,
Bill,
Jean,
Jean,
Richard,
Jack,
Alan. We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Steele Jones, Allison Campbell Graham, and Brad Thomas. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, merciful, accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty. We should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was in every way tempted as we are, yet did not sin, by whose grace we are able to triumph over every evil, and to live no longer unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, be to thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for that thou of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this. For this is my blood of the new covenant, New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Lord and Heavenly Father, according to the institution of thy dearly beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we, thy humble servants, do celebrate and make, here before thy divine majesty, with these thy holy gifts which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make, having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, rendering unto thee most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits procured unto us by the same. And we most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and of thy almighty goodness vouchsafe to bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these thy gifts and creatures of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And please join me, if you will, with saying together the next paragraph of the prayer. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And although we are unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses through Jesus Christ our Lord. By whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
and dost assure us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom. And we humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen.
The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Thanks be to God.